Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, Welcome back to Las Vegas. You're listening to the Crazy Sexy Cool podcast, where we give our black ass millennial opinions about the crazy, the sexy, and the cool hot topics. I'm your host, Bethany, and I'm joined by my friends, Meek and Elizabeth. What's up, y'all?
What up?
Hey, what's happening, man?
Yo, before we jump into the show, can I rant for like 2 seconds?
Yeah, it's your show. You can do what you want.
Bruh. I am exhausted. I am tired. I have reached that point where I am tired of being an adult. I am tired of holding everything together, being the glue, taking care of this person, that person. I'm tired of neglecting myself and the things that I want to do. And I'm tired of paying bills in this motherfucker. I am tired of this pandemic and how this has changed everything, except for bills still being due. Like, right. We still have to get up and be adults. Our children are still doing school and are expected to, like, continue to perform at high levels, just as we are, through this pandemic. And I'm just like pissed. I feel like I need to put my foot down and be like, you know what? Why everything else is paused? Why do I still have to act like things are normal? And I don't get to take time out to make sure that my mental health is okay and my physical health is okay. Like, why are we still expected to just continue adulting like everything hasn't drastically changed? I'm sick of it.
Yeah, it's exhausting.
I'm exhausted.
I feel like that's the how can I say? Like the gotcha bitch of adulting. You know what I mean? Because nobody tells you about this. Like anytime you can go on social media, or even before social media, even before there was a time of social media, you have so many different people from all over the place of, you can be whatever you want to be. You put your mind to it, you can do it. You know, that bullshit, right? But no one tells you just of, like, how exhausting this shit really is. You know, like, I had the thought the other day of, like, you know, I have aspirations and goals in my life, you know. And, you know, you have to develop discipline and all that bullshit in order to obtain these damn goals. And, you know, I had a really good day one day where I woke up at 6, worked out, you know, got everything on my to-do list done. It was very what they would call a productive day. And then a bitch was tired. You know, I ate, I slept. I think I even got, you know, I think I even pleasured myself that day. So it was a really good day. And then a thought came to me, and I was like, I think a thought came to me, it was like, bitch, you gotta wake up and do this shit all over again tomorrow.
Yes. Yes.
And just the simple thought of that just like made me say, fuck it.
Like, yes.
Just say, fuck it. Like, I ain't doing this shit tomorrow, you know? But yeah. Like, that's the issue that I have. So it's like, I have, you, and it's like, to think that you have to do all this shit to be considered, like, you don't have to. You technically don't have to. We know this, okay? But if you want to obtain certain goals, like, you have to have days like that. And so because of that, that is considered to be a good day. But the great creator did not place me here on this earth to just wake up and go to sleep doing the same shit over and over and over again. Like, it really did not. And I think that's the part that I'm having a hard time digesting. It's like an inner battle within myself where, like, I'm like, no, I do want this life, you know. I do want this certain life. I do want, you know, to achieve certain goals for myself. Shit, fuck what everyone else thinks, just for myself, for my son.
Right.
But, like, I don't...
Having to do it day in and day out.
Every single day.
I am tired. I just want to be a baby. I want to be taken care of. I want someone to hug me when I'm upset. I want to be able to cry and not be like, you know, don't let my son see me cry. I can't let him see me cry. Like trying to hold everything together at all times and not be able to, you know, you can't show your frustration. It's like, bruh. So there are adults, you know, in the generations before us who are like, oh, that's just life. But no, you guys didn't have to go through this during a pandemic. So things are different. Bills is different. Not besides the pandemic, our bills are different than what our parents were doing back in the day.
I was just about to say, like, besides the pandemic, like, I'm gonna be honest, and I, you know, if you are from this generation, if I offend you, I don't fucking care, because I said what I said. Since I'm reaching out to my mama's generation, all right? I love my mama dearly, and this is not to her personally, but like the world that you know it, the world that you grew up, not even grew up in, the world that you worked in, the world where you experienced your 20s and 30s, no longer exists. That corporate ladder that you speak, that you think of, that pension is non-existent. Social Security, damn near non-existent. You know, all of these safety nets that your generation had, we no longer have. Granted, we do have a trade-off where it's like, I do think that this is the market where, like, if a man truly wanted to create himself and build his own, this is the market to do that. I do think that that's the trade-off that we have so many, available to us so many different resources, and, you know, just with the internet alone. But that still doesn't remove the work. And I'm gonna be honest, I'm still trying to, it's just certain shit, and it just baffles me that we as a people have just put our heads down and said, oh yeah, this is okay, this works, this is it. This is the system that works. Like, what kind of fucking math is our government doing? The average rent was like $1,200 to $1,400. And technically, according to like financial advisors, your rent is supposed to be a third of your income. Well, a third of that is $40,000 a year. But our minimum wage is only a measly $7. Like, who the fuck is doing this math? Like, that's the part I do not understand. Why the fuck is cell phone bill so much? I don't understand that.
Girl.
How is it $40 per line? Like, I don't fucking understand this shit. Why
you know
is
what?
Bill $4 or $5? Why am I paying, and in my bougie ass, and say what the fuck y'all want to say, I am bougie, I am picky. My bougie ass went and bought water today. Shit is $11. Like, we can't even get decent water, dog. Can't even get a fucking decent fucking water.
That's right?
That just doesn't make sense to me.
Look, and it's like, so even little simple things that you do to enjoy yourself, the cost that comes with it, from like, you know how a lot of us don't have cable. We don't pay a cable bill. But in place of that, now we have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, HBO Max, Sling, and all these different programs that's basically adding up to what a cable bill is.
Yeah.
And so here I am, like, I'm sitting here cutting back, like, up, oh, I'm gonna let that go. And everybody who's using my account's like, hey, did you change the password? No, I disconnected that hoe. Because I don't get a chance to enjoy it, because I got to work my ass off.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If I can't, then no one else can. Unless you want
to. Nobody else is watching
you. Yeah.
Like, I'm tired. I'm cutting the shit, bro.
Shit. You know, I'm going to be honest. I'll trade Netflix in and all this shit in any day just to go to Hollywood Video. Fuck the bullshit. Give me my Hollywood Video account back. You know what I'm saying? And this is the shit that people have to be wary of, because everyone is so gung-ho on technology. Yeah. But like, just the other, I had a conversation with a man at Target today where it's like, yeah, y'all go ahead and stand in line at these damn self-checkouts if y'all fucking want to. Y'all gonna wake up and all your fucking jobs are gonna be gone. And but guess what? You're gonna still have to pay that high-ass rent and that high-ass electricity bill. And they're gonna expect you to fucking figure it out. Yeah. So the same shit that happened to fucking Hollywood Video and all this other shit is gonna fucking happen to these damn, you see these stores shutting down? Stores are shutting down left and right. Amazon taking over everywhere. Yeah. Fuck it.
Yeah. So that's my rant. I'm tired of adulting, and I need someone to come give me a big hug and tell me it's gonna be all right and that they'll pay all my bills for me.
fuck it. I'm taking my ass to the North Wall. I'm becoming a crow with Jon Snow. Fuck the bullshit. Fuck the bullshit.
I don't know what show that is, but I've never seen it.
It's Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay. That show. The show that disappointed everybody at the end? Is that the one?
Yeah, it did. But it was rushed, though. I believe they only have like six episodes. All the other seasons have 10. I want to know what was the drama behind that. Like, why did they rush it and end it so like that?
I don't know, but I remember being on Twitter while everyone was watching it and was just so pissed at the ending.
But to be honest, they probably just, because like a lot of the, like I'm only on season 5, and they put in the past seasons, they put so much work into character building. Like, they probably just got tired of this shit, because it was so intricate. They were like, you know what, fuck this shit. Burn all this shit, end this shit all. Like, I can't. No, really, because you'll see a child in a season ago, and then all of a sudden, like, the child is growing up, but in the background, and all of a sudden, the child is, like, there. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, yeah, it's like that. It's, like, crazy intricate like that, yeah. Oh, and God. Everyone's, like, connected.
Let's get all into it. Okay, let's see what y'all say. Yeah, you talking about.
No, I like it. You're making fun of me because I watch Game of Thrones.
I'm not making fun. I just love your excitement every time you watch it. And when I come over and you just like tuned in.
Yeah.
So I've been watching Snowfall. I know like it's in what, like season 5 or something like that? 4? I don't know. But I'm on season 1. I'm on I'm about to start episode 5. This show is crazy. And I already told y'all how I feel when it comes to like shows that are really intense and, you know, some violence and some wild, crazy shit happening. I have to take a break between the episodes to kind of like get my life together, because I'm like, that was a lot to take in. I need some comedic relief to like, let me laugh that shit off, because.
Do you have nightmares?
I don't have nightmares, but they do, like certain things will end up in my dreams. Like a character from a show or like something.
That used to happen to me when I was younger, but that don't really happen to me.
That happens to me with those demonic ass scary movies. I don't play with that shit. Don't try to come up in my house with that shit. We ain't watching that shit. If they over here speaking tongues, Latin, any pig Latin, any of that shit. Pig Latin. Like, we ain't watching that shit. We not watching that shit at all.
Okay, so y'all watch Coming to America, the sequel.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. That shit was trash. I give a fuck. That shit was
fucking trash. Bro, please. Go ahead, E. Go in.
Here, I was watching that shit, and I mean, I was in and out. I can't believe we made it to the end. It was horrible. It was horrible. The acting
What was horrible?
It felt like everything was rushed. It felt like they didn't take their time with it. It was just like the part killed me is when like I guess they was at the daddy funeral, and he was just sitting there, and then all of a sudden he goes, "I'm about to die," and then
bro, that was the funniest part. What are you talking about?
It's funny. I'm not with you on that one. It's comedy.
Bruh, I was crying. He was like, yeah, let's have a funeral. This nigga died at his funeral. How did you miss it?
A funeral before he didn't even die yet. That's crazy.
That's the comical part of it.
Well, whatever. Damn, y'all might find
it. I thought you was going to bring up something else. I didn't think you were going to bring up that part, because that part was actually funny.
It was funny. You go ahead and rant, because I thought the whole thing was trash.
go ahead, B. Give him some love.
Go ahead. No, okay. First of all,
I was trying my best to avoid spoilers, and so of course everyone's like, "Oh, I wasn't feeling it." So I'm like, I feel like it couldn't have been that bad. So I'm like, all right, let me just watch this with an open mind. First of all, I don't like sequels like this to something so major in like black pop culture. we don't have to do a remake of everything, but whatever. Cool. Everybody's right. Still alive. Let's do this shit while we still got everybody with us. Cool. Whatever. But at one point, I was like, this is a musical. Did you get musical vibes? It almost felt like I was watching
Empire. I did, in some parts, yeah, I got that.
Like, I felt like I was watching Empire for a minute. Like, you had Hakeem.
Empire was way better than that. No. Negative.
Empire, okay, so I didn't think it was that bad. It was just really nice to see all the callbacks, like how they, you know, kind of pay homage to all of the characters that were created and the outfits and the things. But I'm trying to figure out, I have never seen the guy who plays Lavelle. Was this like his breakout moment, or is he from like a TV show that I probably haven't seen before? His name is Jermaine Fowler. I thought, you know, it was pretty dope. But the person who made the movie for me was Leslie Jones. She was
shit. Her and Tracy, funny as shit. Like, no, she definitely made that movie. Yeah,
Leslie Jones is the shit. Like, from the moment she was on screen, from the moment her first opening line, hilarious. Yeah. Like, it was perfect.
Yeah, she did a really good job.
But this also, okay, so I really didn't care for the acting, but the first Coming to America, the acting was, it was great. Just like that.
What? No, I felt like it was better. I liked the first movie of Coming to America. I felt like it was more, I don't know.
We're not going to say that. It was great acting.
Okay, I wouldn't say great acting, but I felt like it was greater than this one. Two.
I think because it is such a huge movie that people love so much, that to do anything with it, people are just going to automatically have, you know, a critical eye with it. I didn't want to take it so seriously.
I went in with, okay, let me really see what this is about, because I had no idea. And I was disappointed, to be completely honest. So, but like you said, the callbacks were good. Like, you know, like seeing all of the faces and everybody getting all older in there, you know what I'm saying? Coming back, doing it all.
What would have made it better for you?
I just feel like they should have took their time with it. I felt like it was rushed. Like, it just wasn't. It wasn't rushed. It had the story to it, to me, was kind of cheesy.
The original story is cheesy.
That's your opinion. I didn't think it was cheesy.
The original story is cheesy.
I felt like it was a more of a good love story. This one was like, how did he get the sun popped up out of nowhere? Like,
it's a comedy though. I feel like
you guys are talking about two different cheesy, because I feel like Eddie Murphy made the movie wanting it to be cheesy. Like, he like attacked so many different stereotypes on both ends, on like the African-American and also the African. So yeah, there is a sense of cheesiness in the original, but then also the point that I think both of you guys are missing is that the time frame of which the movies are created, like that time frame of comedy was so raw. You know what I mean? Like, motherfuckers was not afraid to say shit that was not PC. And now we are in such a hypersensitive, like, climate, like, you know, just all around the world, that, like, the slightest gay, excuse my language, well, I ain't gonna say it, the gay joke or whatever, it would have been a complete protest of this movie. And so I'm gonna be honest, I agree mostly with E. I don't think that it was rushed, but I think that they wrote it with a cautious hand. And I thought, I was under the belief that it was different writers, till I looked it up and it's the same exact fucking writers. And they also got Kenyon Barris.
Yeah.
Well, is that his name? The comedian, yeah, and I'm shocked, because I would think that it would be like more, you know, like pushing the envelope and more like,
wait, like, Kenyon Barris, who wrote Blackish, or Keenan Ivory Wayans? Which one?
No, Kenyon Barris.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, like, no, King. That guy, the guy who came out with the show about his own life.
Yeah.
And like people had all these like different Black as Fuck.
So what I felt like Coming to America, the sequel, was made for all ages to watch. Where I felt
family friendly.
Yeah, it was family friendly. So they kind of wrote it to be acceptable for everybody to watch. Like it's an Amazon special. Anyone can watch this.
No, that's where they went wrong. That is where they went wrong.
There was a lot of moments I was busting out laughing. Like, I mean, I get the cheesiness and I see what they were trying to do. Not saying it was like a perfect movie. Because I really, what I did.
Would you watch
like,
it again?
Yeah,
did you watch it again?
Twice.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh my god. No, I'm not with it. I'm not with it at all. Anything is like, it's like I get it. I'm like. Granted, if Coming to America 1 never existed and they came out with this, I'm like, oh, it's cute. I wouldn't judge it so harshly. But it's like, I can't even show my son the original. You get what I'm saying? So why even make this one family friendly? Like, no. And also, I'm tired of all this family friendly shit. I need some shit for my motherfucking self.
Yes, honey.
No, do not make Coming to America fucking family friendly. Also, I see where a lot of the budget went. It went to these like lavish ass costumes, which I love, but this hair, I'm tired of these movies.
And the makeup. Their
fucking hair and makeup budgets. Like, we have all these HD cameras now. You cannot fucking do that. The type of makeup you did in Coming to America 1, you cannot fucking do that shit in Coming to America 2. Many people had fucking makeup where it looked like somebody from a morgue did their makeup. Like they looked light. Like, there was no life in them. I get it. Majority of the cast is old as fuck now. But, like, you can still, you know, add some bronzer in that bitch. You know what I'm saying? Also, what's up with them unnecessarily putting wigs on people? His son did not fucking need a wig, dog. Didn't need a wig. That was just unnecessary. Why was he dressed like that? I was confused as to what time frame they was pulling from, because he was dressed as though he was like in like the 99-2000s. I'm like, who the fuck is dressed like this right now? Who has on a orange, blue, white plaid short sleeve shirt with a belt, shiny buckle? Like, who the, with Tim's on? Like, that's how they dressed in Queens?
That's how
y'all dressing in Queens. I need to know this.
We need to get somebody from Queens on here.
If I was from Queens, I would be pissed. Like, I'd be up fucking set. Like, really, though. Like,
did she say baby back bullshit?
She
oh
did.
My god. Like, yo, yeah. It's a couple of things where I was like, no. You know what I'm saying? I think Arsenio Hall did a good job, you know. But yeah, that storyline was weak as fuck, yo. It was weak. I'm not watching that again. I'm not gonna show that to Elijah. Like, I'm not going to, like, no. You know,
Go ahead. Bethany, what was your best part?
I told you the funeral was my favorite part, but yeah, that I don't. It was just unexpected. He was like, "Yeah, let's have a funeral before
Wesley
I die."
Snipes.
But what Wesley I was about to say, Wesley Snipes was incredible.
Yeah.
He did a
good job.
Good.
I was thinking, I'm like, yeah, but also too, like I did enjoy the HBCU, like you know. Yeah, like how they did that, where like the general Loki like acts as though he's, you know, the head of like a HBCU band. I'm like, okay, I get that, you know. I wish Teyana Taylor's,
her character
had a bit more. And Rick Ross, whack ass accent. Like,
that's terrible. You know,
like his eyes got big and shit. Like,
it was weird. It was so weird to watch, but I understand they filmed the movie. The majority of the movie was filmed at his house. So I was like, okay, let's give me a speaking role. But yeah, that wasn't a great performance.
I wonder like how do Africans view this movie? I had listened to a podcast not that long ago, like a couple of days ago, and they were talking about the diaspora between, you know, African Americans and Africans. And, you know, things, you know, like why don't we get along type of conversation? But they were speaking about some of the stereotypes and stuff. So I am interested to know, like, you know, they probably think it's funny as shit, or they probably don't. So, but I'm interested to know what your views are.
My son's dad thinks that the original Coming to America is hilarious. He thought it was great. So I wonder what he's going to think about this new one. First of all, I don't like Eddie Murphy's accent. It is it's so lazy. Okay, so Eddie Murphy is my favorite stand-up comedian, okay? And watching this confirms my feelings about him going back into doing stand-up. Because everyone's like, he hasn't done anything since Raw and Delirious and, you know, since the 80s. I think he should keep it that way. Be the king of stand-up. Don't come back and ruin the greatness. Don't ruin your reputation. Because he's still funny in interviews and everything that I see him in. But this movie, I was like, where is Eddie Murphy at? It just didn't seem funny. He didn't seem funny to me at all.
It was lazy.
So that was the...
But you know what it, you know what he gave me? He gave me, like, Dr. Dolittle, the sequel Eddie Murphy. Not even the original Dr. Dolittle. Like, he gave me, like, the sequel, you know, one.
And it's his performance.
And I was, too. Because, you know what? Martin had the same, you know, journey within his career. But I feel like in Bad Boys, the most recent one, that was Martin. You know what I mean? Like, he was still funny as shit. Right. Like, he was still funny as shit. Yeah, but that's what I'm trying to say, though. But low-key, you just contradicted yourself because you were like, oh, it's family-friendly. Eddie Murphy cannot show up to something family-friendly and be fucking, like, you, like, those are two different Eddie Murphys. Those are two different Eddie Murphys.
We're talking about Shrek, Eddie Murphy?
Bro.
He can still be funny.
Bro, low-key, Shrek is inappropriate, like, if we're being honest. Like, if you and listen to a lot funny. Of that shit. Like, it's inappropriate as fuck, and it's not.
That's
it's
why
really
it's funny.
Not, it's not. It's really not. It's really not family friendly. Inappropriate as fuck.
Like, we can still have some inappropriate family friendly comedy. Like, it's Eddie Murphy. No, you're going to get that. And so that's why. That's the one thing that I was disappointed. Like, where was my favorite my favorite comedian actor?
And then also, see, and I know, like, some might not like this, too. Like, and this is the thing, too, that just fucked me up. I don't know if y'all noticed this, but the bathers had bras on. You know what I mean? Like, it, and granted, I'm not trying to say, like, girls need to go and show their nipples. But, like, that, like, I feel like even though it was cheesy and it wasn't completely true to, like, African culture, I still do think that there was some, like, a little bit of authenticity in there, a little bit. I don't know. This one just seemed very fucking plastic. Like, the damn bathers had nude bras on. And I'm like, bro.
What the hell like, is going on?
Just give them a whole new outfit then. Like, don't even try to replicate or, like, try to, like, yeah, replicate that scene. Just give the bathers, just shit, put them in full on, full, like, fully clothe them now. Make it a shower instead of a fucking bath or something. Like, don't have them wear this dressing with a bra on.
Yo, so speaking of, you know, them changing, like, the outfit. So there's been some photos that come out from the new Space Jam remake starring LeBron James. Lola Bunny has a new look. She isn't as, like, sexy as she was in the original movie. So in the original, Lola Bunny is wearing, like, a crop top jersey and some little booty shorts. Her little bunny tail is sticking out the back. And, you know, she got a little cat eye makeup. She's looking all cute and shit. But now her look is more sporty. So she has on more of a normal jersey. She has on regular shorts. It even has, like, compression shorts underneath. So you see no midriff. Ain't no titties popping out. You know, it's just, we get a like, a classic athlete-looking character. Have you guys seen the photo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What'd you guys think? Because for some reason, there are a lot of people. Well,
I didn't see the backlash part. Like
neither. Yeah, like what they said.
So for the listeners who haven't, you know, heard, there are some people who are upset that they have changed Lola Bunny's look. They were like, so what happened to, you know, why does she not have any titties and ass and you can't see her hips and the shape of her body? It's like, bro, it is a whole bunny rabbit, an animated bunny. Why are we pressed to see this fictional character shape?
That's just weird as fuck. And it's not even about like femininity. It's about like basketball. So you supposed to be looking at the ball, not the fucking bunny boobs.
So I feel like it's a lot of guys who was like 9 or 7 years old when
Jack Harlow, time out. I think Jack Harlow has an interview where he admits to like there's certain cartoons that when he was younger he used to be like.
Yes, he did. He absolutely said that. I think he did mention Lola Bunny as being like a crush of his from his childhood. And so it's like these guys who grew up seeing Space Jam when they were like 6 and they're looking to like have their childhood crush come back. And it's like, wait, where's the ass and titties? It's like, nigga, are you okay? Are you getting pussy or not? Like, what's going on? Like, how can you be so pressed? But I'm excited to see the remake.
Stop with the remakes.
Remakes, please.
Like, I'm going to be honest. Like, them taking on these sequels like this, the way that they doing it, first off, is lazy. I feel like if for every sequel that, like, that doesn't meet up to standard, that either money needs to be taken away, jobs need to be taken away, something. Like, and are we going to start having award shows where it's just nothing but fucking sequels? Like, y'all are not doing a good job. And all I got to say is if one of y'all motherfuckers touch my Love Jones, we're going to have a motherfucking problem. I'm going to be at the dough. I'm going to be
You might hate me for this, but what the fuck would a sequel about Love Jones be about anyway?
Shit, what the fuck a sequel about fucking Space Jam be about? Like, what the fuck the sequel it's of Cartoons to America? What the it's fuck would a sequel of Coming to America be about? Like, the fuck? Like, they married Nina and Darius marry, and then their love child, or he had a love child with the girl that he left for Nina. Like, girl, they reaching. They be reaching for now, and all I have to say, if they try to remake or create a sequel from Love Jones, even a fucking sitcom, I'm going to have an issue. I'm going to have a fucking issue. I don't care.
You know they have a best man series coming out.
No.
But they're calling back all of the characters. Now, I will say, Best Man Holiday was an incredible remake.
That was good.
Incredible, but it was good.
Bruh, okay. All right. What was wrong with it? What was wrong with Best Man Holiday?
Nothing was wrong with it. I just wouldn't say incredible, but it was good.
No, but their cast is pretty strong, though. They got a lot of strong thespians in their cast. Like, Coming to America, I mean, they did, but they didn't. Also, Morgan Freeman, can we say this? Can we point this out real quick? I know I'm kind of like going backwards. But it's crazy how Morgan Freeman is the only one that looks the same and sound the same from, like, even though he wasn't in the original, around the time of the original, he looked the same. And now everyone has caught up to Morgan Freeman. Let's just say that.
Yo, so what I said is that Eddie Murphy looks like one of the old characters that he played in Life.
Bruh. No, right.
Or isn't it crazy how when he paid the barbershop guy, it really didn't look that bad? Like, that character didn't look that... I'm like, bro, like, that looks like you. That fits you. And then I told Elizabeth, I was like, bro, like, when he came out as a Sexual Chocolate on the original, they had to give him a belly. He wore his own belly from the sequel.
Bruh, It was a scene where Eddie Murphy was talking to Wesley Snipes, and I was so distracted by Eddie Murphy's stomach sticking out. I was like, is this fake? Is he supposed to be like this big dude now? Like, he's just a lazy king or like prince or whatever? No, like, what?
They were hiding it. What are you talking about? They were hiding it. Because that Arsenio Hall and Eddie Murphy, when he was fighting with his daughters, and he came, he had that black girl. Boy, he did this. It was like a solar eclipse. I was like, oh, damn. Eddie! Not Eddie! No, yo. Eddie!
Yeah. But yeah, I think the Space Jam remake is going to bring in a lot of money because it's just a new generation of, like, basketball fans. Like, Michael Jordan was our Michael Jordan back in the day. Now, these days, the kids love LeBron. The kids love, you know, Dame Lillard and Steph Curry. So it's just a completely different generation. It's almost like two generations that we've skipped over to get to this new Space Jam.
I think that's what my issue is that they're waiting way too long for these sequels.
Well, but this was supposed to happen a long time ago. And honestly, I can't believe that. I thought they was going to scratch and say, you know what? We've been talking about this movie for like 10 years and we're just now making it happen. LeBron is about to be 40. Not really, but still, because they always had his name in talks of doing this movie. But I was like, when are they going to do it? Like, it's an animated film where he just has to show up and do some green screen, blue screen stuff. And interact with these cartoon characters that they can put in whenever the fuck. Like, why are we just now getting pictures? We haven't even seen a trailer yet. Nigga, I'm tired. I don't even want to see the movie no more.
Oh, now you don't want to see it. Now we gonna see this. We gonna watch this.
I'm gonna watch it, of course, because you know I love that.
Wait. So does this mean that somebody is gonna redo R. Kelly? I Believe I Could Fly, because I'm just saying. Man.
My son asked me if he could listen to that song. Sorry, baby, I'm not gonna play that. Okay, we can't listen to that. He was like, okay, but it's just like, why do I have to explain to my son like we can't listen to R. Kelly in his house? Sorry,
where are we living?
Yeah, but yeah, I wonder. Like, Space Jam was one of my favorite soundtracks back in the day. That was a dope soundtrack. Which, yeah, what was it? 69 Boys when a.
You know, come on and jam.
D'Angelo had a song on there. I Found My Smile Again. Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, maybe this will bring a dope soundtrack. Get like Chance the Rapper or somebody on there. I don't know. Like, who's going to be on a kid-friendly soundtrack these days? Like, who is there?
Cardi B. They gonna put some bullshit like that. Lola's rap looking ass. Like, don't be surprised.
Okay, look. First, let me go back to Coming to America real quick. The songs, I really just wanted to kind of like pull my ears off. Megan Thee Stallion had a song and
queen.
The rap was
I'm a queen. Queen.
Like, I get it. You have to make it friendly for the movie, but damn.
Yeah.
That See? Shit had me like, what?
Come to the other side, B. Just come on over.
That movie was funny as shit to me. I was laughing. I enjoyed it.
B, were you high?
So the first time I watched it, yes. The second time, no. And I was still laughing. Because that's why I was like, you know what? I watched it high. I need to see this again to make sure, like, this shit was actually funny. But it was still funny to me. Another thing that people were talking about on Twitter recently was that Jay-Z has sold his majority ownership of Tidal. He has passed it on to Jack. You know, Jack is the owner or the creator of Twitter and Square. So, you know what? Let me pull up the little article so I can get this right. This article. I don't know. Where is it? Where Jay-Z, you know, is no longer the majority owner of my favorite music streaming service. I love Tidal. And it wasn't because it was like black owned or whatever. I just think it flowed better.
B.
Me being the type of person Like, when I listen to music, I like to know who made it, who wrote it, who's on production, who's this. And Tidal was always the company, so you can click on the credits and read the credits. Apple, I think they do that now. And I think Spotify do it. They do it now as well. But Tidal was always first. And they always had more content when it came to music videos. So when you guys come over to my house and I'm playing music videos, like, I think I always play videos, I'm playing it from Tidal because I don't want to use YouTube. I don't want no ads. I'm not paying for none of that shit. And also, every time you log onto YouTube, they always tell you, like, oh, try YouTube Premium and no ad, like, enough. But Tidal is my shit. So Jay-Z bought Tidal in 2015 for $56 million. He sold it for $297 million. But people are giving him hell because he sold it to a white man. They say because he preaches black on this and, you know, buy your own, whatever, why sell it? So people are giving him hell for selling Tidal. What do you guys think about that? Is he doing good business or is he being contradictory?
Go ahead, me. I'm not a businessman. I'm a business man. I mean, this man tells you how he set up. Also, I challenge what you say, Bethany, because every time you always mention Tidal, that's your leading argument is that, you know, support our people and black owned and stop giving your money to these da 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 da. That was what? Your leading argument. Yes.
Stop giving your money.
Bro, I've heard you say this to me.
Apple or Spotify. I love the way Tidal looks. They're like the first app that I had on my phone that gives you the options.
It's just a dark app. It visually looks better. I didn't say that you do not like it, but what I said is your leading argument when talking about streaming as to why you support Tidal is because it was black owned. That is what I'm challenging. So anywho, but
and it also sounds better.
I don't know what I'm gonna be honest. What that man eat don't make me shit. And I'm tired of people idolizing these false ass prophets. Like, it's cool, you know, for people of a certain, that's like, I'm not about to involve myself within an argument of a certain tax bracket. I really don't know what was his whole motive behind doing whatever he was doing. And I really don't give a fuck. I'm not on Tidal. That was just, and I really don't have no reason as to why I didn't join Tidal, but like, yeah, I don't care. I really don't care.
what about you, Liz? What do you think about Jay-Z's criticism? Do you think he's doing good business or should he have kept it and probably grown it a little bit more?
Yeah, the whole thing with his business aspect, I'm not really in tune with it. I mean, I've seen it. I've scammed through the whole situation, but like, shit, I don't know what this man is doing or not doing.
How can people who make a certain amount of money tell someone who makes this type of money, like, that he's making bad business? You know what I'm saying? I do think that, like, we do need to start owning our own shit. So I do agree with that argument. But I don't know how I feel about Jay-Z.
It changes nothing for me. I love the way Tidal works. I love the way it sounds. The quality is just really dope.
So if another black streaming site comes out, are you gonna support it?
Yeah.
You gonna support both at the same time?
Yeah, I still pay for Apple. I still pay for Spotify. But I use Tidal. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I do think that people should start like really like put into consideration on who they deem as like their leaders, you know what I mean, of the community. Granted, yes, you know, Jay-Z always speaks about black owned and black profit and all that other shit.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out why people are so disappointed. Like, I was trying to figure out, like, what? Okay, so what? That man just made an incredible business deal. Shouldn't that be inspirational?
But also the part that's being left out of the story is, I believe he became a part of the board or something. Like, he also has, like, I can't remember from the article. I saw it where it says something like it's either like he has like a chair on the board or something with like with Square, which is major because we're moving into a space where, you know, electric currency, Bitcoin, all that other bullshit is about to become cash is going out. Cash is no longer, you know, king, you know, and so it's going to be that. So to like get his foot into that, that was actually a major move. And if I'm, if we're being honest, I would rather have, I would rather look at someone to have a part of that in the beginning instead of looking at someone with streaming. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's where it's really going to matter, like, eventually, I think. So
it says Square is acquiring a majority ownership stake and title through a new joint venture, with the original artist becoming the second largest group of shareholders and Jay-Z joining the Square board. It said, so Jack asked, why would a music streaming company and a financial services company join forces? We about to see.
Yeah, I think it's some shit going on.
I think it's really big. Something big is about to happen. Yeah, and everybody who was talking shit about, and those who are talking shit about this are probably going to bite their tongue. So, yeah, I think it's dope. I would love to join or buy something, grow it into something spectacular, and sell that hoe. Yes, I would love to do that. If I could make Bikini Honey the number one swimsuit company in the world and people are like bidding to buy it and take it off my hands, absolutely. And I wouldn't look at another swimsuit a day in my life. Happily. I'd be in my vacation home in Zanzibar naked. Who needs a bikini?
In Zanzibar.
Not with Baba. What was the name of that damn elephant? Hey, Baba.
I'll be out of here, nigga. Shit. Take it. Here you go. And here's all of my inventory and then some. But yeah. So, real quick, I wanted to talk about something or someone that I just never, I give him no attention, like none. But I was scrolling Instagram one day and Hollywood Unlocked made a post about China making it a requirement to enter their, that foreigners, in order to enter their country, they would have to take an anal swab test for COVID. Because apparently that's supposed to give you the best and most accurate results. And I was like, okay, that's crazy. I'm not taking my ass to China to get swabbed.
Right,
so
and my ass.
None of my business. But I thought
this tripping.
So you know when you're scrolling Instagram, you see like the top comment from someone who has like who's verified, who has like a million, you know, followers or whatever. And it was from Tekashi 6ix9ine. And it said, and he commented, he was like, Lil Nas X has entered the chat. And I was like, Lord, Lil Nas X doesn't, like, he ain't out here.
He don't bother nobody. You know, that little boy alone.
He is nothing but, he just loves to have fun on the internet. He really doesn't bother anybody. So I was like, why? But I just kept scrolling until the next morning, I'm on Twitter and Lil Nas X posted, because I actually follow him on Twitter. He posted a video of him kind of like dancing, and then a screenshot pops up on the side where Tekashi 6ix9ine basically DM'd him like, hey, what's up, in like October. And then the other one that was underneath was, I'm in LA, what's up, or where you at type shit. Like, you know, he's looking for him. And it made everybody go crazy because I think people already had like a feeling that Tekashi 6ix9ine is probably, you know, he gives trade tees. You know, he'd be wearing them rainbow lace fronts and people just don't know what's going on with this boy. But yeah, which makes me wonder, you think there's some other people in Lil Nas X's DMs? Like if his DMs ever leaked, I think that shit would be crazy.
Man, that shit would be golden. You want to talk about, like, oh my gosh. But you know what's so crazy, though, is that, like the fact that, like, just because a man hit up a man who is out as a homosexual and say what's up so many people automatically assume that that man is gay. Like, that is, it's not crazy. I can't say it's crazy, but it's crazy. You get what I'm saying?
Like, why would you joke about his sexuality under a post about anal swabs? And then, but you've been trying to, like, at least get in contact with him in some way. So it's like,
right, they both do music. If I'm playing devil's advocate, they could have had some type of exchange where, like, we were supposed to meet up and I hit you on your phone, you don't answer, but I see you on social media, and so I'm gonna hit your ass up on social media. It doesn't automatically mean that I want your fucking booty hole.
Nigga, take the hint. I ain't respond to you in October. You gonna hit me up in February? Nah, bruh.
Now let me stop playing devil's advocate. Like, now fuck that nigga. So the thing no, real talk. But I'm just saying it like generally. I ain't trying to defend this nigga. I guess my whole thing is, I like, why did it take so long for like the gay accusations? Because I'm just saying this front lace. He had some better than some of these female rappers. You know what I mean? He had Jonathan come out and lay his shit. Like, I didn't know whose was better, his or Nicki's. Like, they were... I mean, Nicki's was better because Tay did Nicki's, but still. Like, so, like, yeah, like, that was just wild to me. But also, why are we... Like, shut the fuck up. Also, another thing, too. Correct me if I'm wrong. But didn't Nas X start out as a troll?
Yeah. He was like a Nicki Minaj super fan.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like,
wow, I didn't know,
like,
that.
6ix9ine, Rainbow Bright, motherfucker. Like, you just stepped into the ring with, like, someone that does the same shit as you. He's about the same shit. Like, don't do that. You know what
I
mean?
And I think he does it better.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if you're built for that. You know, like, the other dudes that you've came at, they don't do what you do. They have a different code that they obey by. But not, like, he comes from the same cloth, so, like.
he's really about that troll life. He will troll your ass online easily. So why, of all people, do you come at Lil Nas X when he does this?
Maybe his song. Wants people to know that he like his booty hole, you know, rammed or something.
Well, he did, like, Tekashi did, like, post a video saying, oh no, that wasn't true. Like, he made it seem like, yeah, he said it wasn't true. It's like, so we're gonna create screenshots for the
that's where
you know it's true when he got to come out and defend himself.
Anytime y'all decide to make a video, it just looks bad for you. Like, I don't understand why y'all don't fucking get this shit. Why, like, Just take the Jay-Z approach and just do not respond. Like, that's it.
Like, who gives a fuck?
Do not respond. Right. Like, all right, that's cute. But no, it's not true. Like, nigga.
But Tekashi's response to everybody and everything, every single time.
He needs to respond to his dentist because them damn teeth are big as fuck, yo. Like, that shit shaved the fuck down, dog.
These are the veneers that I be talking about. When I'm there's a way to get them done, and then there's a way. Them shit's like chiclets, like, for real. They're like all that. One size, like, going across, bro.
It's like he getting like out hysterectomies, like, when he going down on bitches, like, my nigga just tong, 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 tong,
tong. Oh, my God.
Oh, he's so gross.
Yeah, yo, and then you got the beard shit. Like, bro, you like a leprechaun, my nigga. Like, your shit grows in disgusting, bro. Like, that shit looks disgusting.
Yeah, Tekashi, please go.
Please go away.
All right, so we're going to wrap up the show. Of course, we're not going to do the red light special again this week because we are saving your letters for a special episode. So if you still, you know, you still have some time to get your letters in, if you want to ask us anything, any advice, have any questions for us ladies, send us a DM at Crazy Sexy Cool Pod on Twitter or on Instagram, or shoot us an email at crazysexycoolpod@gmail.com. And we just may answer your question on the show. So get those in so we can read y'all. So before we end the show today, Elizabeth, do you have a quote for us this week, or?
I mean, I guess I could do something.
Look, hold on. So, wait, before you get into it, can we address the daylight raspy voice that you got going on?
So Vegas is back open, guys, and
pretty much.
And I mean, it's slowly but certainly opening. And yes, I'm back at work, so come see me at daylight only if you're coming to spend money. And
only way
you're gonna be able to see me if you're spending money. And yeah, my voice is like this is because I have to yell over the music and repeat myself like 1,000 times. So, you know, Vegas is back open, so come see me. I mean, y'all need to, we need a crazy, sexy, cool day at daylight, guys.
I mean, we can do that.
Invite some fans.
What?
look.
Look, Liz, you're surprising me because I'm about that life. Okay. So, everyone, we're going to pull up on Liz and spend money.
Yes, honey.
Like a fan meet and greet?
Something like that. Sounds pretty nice.
Okay.
Let me get into this quote.
Yes, what's the quote?
So the quote of the day says, sometimes you have to take 2 steps back to take 10 forward. Nipsey Hussle. All
right. Yes,
that's just how I'm feeling today. I don't care if y'all wasn't filming. Y'all remember last time?
Let me say anything. Just because we don't sip, just because we don't be like, oh my God, yes, girl.
No, that's not why I'm referring to it. I'm referring to it because the last time I said something,
the last time,
it's bullshit, bro. I said something about happiness.
I don't even
remember
what you said.
Bullshit about happiness.
Yeah,
it was Will Smith.
Jesus Christ. I don't know about that, dog. I know we both.
It was something about smiling through the bullshit. But sometimes we...
Yeah, nah.
We gotta be real. But, no, this is a good quote.
No, this is a really good quote.
Mm-hmm. I fucked with that one.
And see, the cast from Coming to America 2 should take that. You know, sometimes you gotta, like, just stand back, maybe 2 steps. I'm just saying, you know, maybe rewrite some of them jokes or something and maybe reconfigure some of those wigs, you know, for it to...
You get over.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. Thank you so much for tuning in with us this week and we'll see you next week. We out. Take care.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.